Let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And again, we're talking on the subject of living by faith. And we want to go a little further into that topic tonight. What I said to you was that faith, after you get born again, is probably the most important topic that you can study in the Word of God, because it's what you're going to have to not only access promises and fight with, but you're going to have to please God. And you can't do it without faith. Say amen to that. Look what it says here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Say amen to that. Amen. The New Testament describes basically what benefits are yours, what Jesus died to provide, and everything from victory to joy to revelation, to healing, deliverance, prosperity, all kinds of things. It's somebody said, 8,000 promises or something like that. But he died to provide these things for you. Now, in this New Testament, it tells you basically who you are, what you can do, what you have, and what you can be. And what we have to do is come to the Word of God. Once we get born again, come to the Word of God and see what God has to say about our lives. Because the Bible warns us over in Romans chapter 12, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, 12:2. And so we have to renew our minds to what God says we are, because bring our minds in alignment with the Spirit, our spirit, our born-again spirit, and what God says belongs to us. So once you start getting the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, believing the Word of God, and doing the Word of God, usually you're going to have a fight on your hands. Because the enemy knows that if you hold fast to your faith without wavering, you're going to be victorious. And let me tell you, when people see it, they're encouraged. I mean, think about where we are right now. This is an act of faith. This faith did this. I mean, I'm not taking the credit for it. Faith connects you with the ability of God. So faith did this. And when I came by faith. A lot of people not where they're supposed to be because they don't want to go by faith. So they're in the wrong place. And that's why they're not growing or whatever have you. So you got to do it by faith, because that's the only way God gets involved in it. So you need to understand faith. Somebody said, well, he's merciful. Yeah, you have faith in his mercy. But you're going to have some faith, because without it, you can't please God. So this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All right, last time we talked about, we talked about believing a victory over trials. And one of the things that faith does is faith sees the results often before the fight. And in that fight, you can't lose to continue to feed your faith with the Word, because you got to keep seeing your destiny. Your destiny is faith defined. You got to keep seeing it. And faith sees the results. And that's why it's so, so beneficial. You can see it. You know, when you can see what's going to happen, people can't talk you out of it. They can't talk you out of it because you can see what's going to happen. I remember a man named Dr. Frederick K.C. Price. Anybody remember him? He talked about when he had believing God for a better conditions in his life. He had been started preaching and got a hold of the Word of Faith and started preaching that all up and down the coast of California and inviting him to speak. And as he's speaking, he still had an old car. Well, he was believing God for a new Lincoln. And he had this old car. He said this car had been wrecked on the sides, in the front, in the back by his daughters. His daughters had done a job on this car. And he said what happened, he and his wife would pull up at the place and they wouldn't want to, he'd want, she didn't understand what he saw. And so he's preaching all this, how good God is. And they're pulling up in something that's smoking. When I say smoking, I mean actually literally smoking. And wrecked in the front, on the sides, and so forth. And she thought that, you know, in her mind, that was contrary to what he was preaching. Well, what he was preaching had not manifested in terms of that car right there. But he was believing God for it. And so when you see the results, you can pull up in an old car. Oh, I better say that. I better say it again. When you see the results, you can live perhaps in conditions that you know that you can do better than that eventually, but you see the results. Say amen to that. And that is what I think a lot of believers don't understand, because they think if you're saying it, you're supposed to be living it at that time. Well, there is some distance between I believe I received and there it is. Say amen to that. And you're saying something that you don't see yet, but you're calling things. You're calling things. And some people can't stand that because in their mind, once you get in faith, you know, you're not supposed to have any problems and you're supposed to be living high on the hog and look at Bill Winston and so forth. Wait a minute. How about the time I'm in faith, but now I'm catching the bus with my wife and who David was with us at that time. And we're catching the bus out to my in-law's house to eat dinner. See, now I'm saying that perhaps they didn't understand. They probably said to themselves, Lord, what is my daughter married right here? See, I'm catching the bus. Now they had stolen our car and that's why we was out of that. And so I'm catching the bus. Now here I am, come from, you know, IBM, doing well, ta-da-da-da-da. And now I'm in faith now, I've crossed over and things haven't manifested yet, but I believe I've received. I said, I believe I've received. See, you're not saying I'm healed. You're saying I believe that I've received my healing. Say amen to that. Because he wants you to believe. And so they don't understand it. So we're driving around this car, and this car, the secondhand car, was smoking and so forth, wasn't it, baby? And she said, and come on now. I mean, this is what was happening. She hadn't bought a new outfit or dress or anything in about 4 years. She was getting hand-me-downs. But wait a minute. I saw the results. I could see it. I said, I could see it. Say amen to that. She ain't wearing hand-me-downs anymore, are you? There I am, crossing the street, trying to get the laundry done and for my family, going to a laundromat, and I had holes in my shoes. Somebody had called me to preach. I'm trying to figure out whether I should get these holes fixed or whether I should get the laundry done first, because I knew when I preached, sometimes I'd throw my foot up, you know, and so forth. And they said, now he gonna preach prosperity, and I saw a hole. I saw a hole in his foot, in his shoe. Got it? Why? Because I'm in faith. I said, I'm in faith. And the Bible says, you got to hold fast to the confession of your faith. Come on, without wavering. Are you following what I'm saying? And so I've got to just hold it. And people think that the moment they get in faith, poop, there it is, 7-bedroom home, a la ba ba ba. Wait a minute. You got to develop that kind of faith. So Dr. Price, next thing you know, the Lincoln came in, and his wife, she was glad to pull up in there. Now, when she tried to, you know, when they had that old car, she tried to usher him out real quick after he finished preaching before anybody got out there and saw what they rode away in. She didn't understand that because she couldn't see the results. But you can have somebody right beside you, they can't see what you can see. And when they can't see what you can see, they can't have what you can have. Are you following what I'm saying? So you got to watch that, because if you don't, then people leave faith and go to something called presumption. Uh-huh. See, they're going to do what I do, just copying off of me. They didn't develop any faith to do it. They're trying to be a copycat. Say amen to that. And the next thing you know, they go either broke or something happened or whatever happened. Well, Pastor, what happened? What happened is there was no faith. Because when you've got faith, you will have proof. Well, I know this is the right bunch I'm talking to right now. So it's nothing wrong with you catching a bus when you first come over here and so forth. You don't have it yet. Praise God. But all you got to do when you get off the bus, when your foot hits that cement, just say, I'm working on something. Praise God. Come on in the church, throw your hands up and start praising God. Say, I'm working on something. Praise God. Say amen to that. Now that's where we started out. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's only people who got misplaced faith, they are trying to outdo the Joneses. That's not faith at all. Say amen to this. I think this is the right bunch I'm talking to tonight. Folks, there's nothing wrong with it, see? And when you don't do that, and now you're not developing your faith at all, because faith needs works. And if your faith has no proof, it's a fake. It's a fake, folks. Don't try to impress somebody and you know you faking. Because when you got the goods, eventually it'll show up. And there's nothing wrong with examining your faith and even do it by the Holy Ghost. Ask the Holy Ghost, hey, wait a minute, am I in faith or am I in presumption? Or am I in mental assent? What am I? You know, he'll show you, you know, and you'll hear it maybe through one of my sermons or something like that. And I'll say, hey, hold on, you got the faith, you got it, hold on, praise God, it's going to come. Are you following what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with taking medication by faith. People think, well, if I got faith, I won't take this medication. Whoa, 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 now. Medication can't heal you. It just sets up the environment for healing. You take your faith and take this medication in the name of Jesus and cancel all side effects. Oops. Let it go. Now, that's faith. I'm shooting a hole in the devil. See, because he's trying to tell you, no, this, that, so forth and so on. So that's what I'm talking about. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, let's just talk about a couple of angles here, a couple of things that the Lord placed on my heart as I was studying for this lesson tonight. Let's go over to James, and James chapter 4. Verse 3. Thank you. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. Now, what is amiss? You're asking out of line with the word. See? You're not asking their laws here in the kingdom. And you violate those laws to ask out of line with that, then you don't get any action. That you may consume it upon your own lust, in this case. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Y'all with me? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, I put this down here because I said this. You don't have to compromise. When you're really in faith, you don't need to make friends with the Philistines to make something going to come to pass. Is somebody with me? So sometimes people think they got to butter up the people and so forth like that. You don't have to saddle up to nobody. When God gives you favor, you don't have to thank no man. Because it didn't come from them. It came from God. Now, misplaced faith. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. So you're going to have to trust in Him. That faith demands that God be not only your source, help me, but your what? Only source. It demands it. It demands it. Now, let's just go back and look at that real quick. Let's go back here to Judges and Judges chapter 7 very quickly. Are y'all with me? Oh, you're going to make it. We're going to make it. I just want to tear down any ways that the enemy is trying to get you to either get ahead of God and really not have the faith that God wants you to have, and have it be presumption or something. And the next thing you know, you're head over heels in debt, can't pay your bills. Then you have a mortgage crisis, lose your house, so forth and so on. Because it wasn't faith at all. Because it's faith, you'll keep it. Yes. Say amen to me. Amen. Do you all mind me teaching this stuff like this? I'm making it so now that you will win every battle. Yes. Boy, that's God right there. As a matter of fact, I decree you shall win every battle. That came from prophetic. All right, here's Gideon. As you know, God chose him. And Gideon tried to make all excuses why he wasn't qualified. But if God ever chooses you, He qualifies you. You can talk about all the degrees you don't have, but when God says you're going, you're going. So now, in Judges Judges chapter 7, this is when now Gideon is moving into God wanting him to fight a battle for him or to deliver Israel. Verse 2, and the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Wow. And therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Now, I know this is starting to bother Gideon. Why? Because in our lives, we came from an environment where the larger the numbers you have, stay with me now, the more you can do and the more popular you can be. All right, let's look. It just hold something right there now. I'm going to flip it with you. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14, please. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Remember, faith connects us with God's ability. Faith connects us with God's ability. Look at 1 Samuel chapter, what did I say? 14. Look at verse 6. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over against the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Watch this.
For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. All right, now what does that say to you? What does that say to you? Come on, help me with that. It doesn't matter how many numbers you got. It's how much faith you got. Because God can deliver you by many, come on, or by few. Why? Because he's God. Let me show you a place that he delivered that was a little bit unorthodox in our way of thinking. Let's go to Joshua chapter 10, please. Joshua chapter 10. Joshua chapter 10. Now here is Joshua fighting one of his battles. He hooked on with the Gibeonites because they deceived him. Sometimes folk deceive you. Try to hook on. Look at verse 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thy hand, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. So fear not." How many times did I tell you fear not is listed in the Bible? 365. One time for every day. Look at verse 9. And Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night, and the Lord discomfited them before Israel and slew them with what? Great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Bethoron, and smote them to Azekah and to Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel, and there in the going down of Bethoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. You know, when I was a young boy in high school, we played basketball down at this guy's basketball courts. And all the guys came down there, and some rough guys came down from one of the sides of town, and they were playing ball down there, and they were rough and everything, and you know. But everybody was down there, and it got dark. Now, they had lights like it did today. It got dark, but everybody's still waiting on everybody else to go home. Because whoever went home first, everybody picked up rocks and rocked them all the way home. Terrible situation. I don't even know why I went down there. But can you imagine God fighting for you throwing rocks at folks? This is God fighting for you, throwing rocks from heaven down there. Man, don't tell me things. Ain't nothing impossible with God, man. You start reading that and your faith goes up. Isn't that wonderful? Throwing rocks at folks. Oh, that's good, man. Wow. Now, this is all over the Bible. It's just, you can see it when you read it. And I'm telling you, somebody said, if you want to hide something from somebody, just put it in a book. Because they won't read. Take time and read the Bible. This is all in there. This is designed to build your faith. That it's just you. Maybe you don't have all the higher education. Maybe you didn't have the advantages. Maybe you come from the other side of the tract, whatever side that is. Or maybe I'm a woman, I'm older, I'm so forth. Stop that. It's faith that's going to take you through. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. So, now, so don't misplace your faith. You got to trust in God. Let me show you one more, because sometimes it takes a little time to build your faith. You know, Abraham started out kind of lying about little things, you know. When I say that, I mean, you know, he didn't tell all the truth. He said, you know, we're going down to the Pharaoh. Now you tell Pharaoh that you are my sister. Don't you tell him that you're my wife. Now, Abraham didn't trust somebody's protection. Am I right about it? Come on now. I'm telling you. I've had guys come in and say, Pastor, you know, I've been incarcerated and come out and trying to get a job. And every time I tried to get a job,
Next thing you know, I worked a little while, and then they find out I have a record and so forth, and they let me go. I said, all right, those days are over. I said, are you going for another job? He said, yes, sir. I said, let's pray right now. Now, what do? We prayed the favor of God. We be by faith that God's going to give him favor. And next time he goes, are you following what I'm saying? See, I don't have to lie on anything because now I'm misplacing my faith. Then just like that, we prayed. He went, got the job. They looked at his record. They said, all right, this is what we want to do. We want to have some people come in that we want to get them back in society and so forth like that. So he hit it just right. I said, he hit it just right. How about the lady that came in and said, Pastor, they got a promotion at my job. She said, I'd like to get that. I said, is it posted? She said, yeah, it's on the bulletin board. She said, it's just the job I wanted. It's a promotion for me. I said, are you qualified? She said, yes, indeed. I said, all right, let's believe God for it. We held hands and stood in agreement. The Bible says, where two on earth agree is touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of our Father. Abashata, I agree with you right now that you got that job. There's somebody in here right now that's listening to that. I agree with you right now. I'm touching and agreeing with you right now. I look at the hand. I'm touching and agreeing with you right now. All right? And so what we did, she went away, came back about 2 weeks, sad look on her face. I said, sis, how did we do? She said, Pastor, somebody else got that job. I said, you didn't let that job go, did you? She said, well, no. She caught it right then because the Bible says, hold fast the confession of your faith. Say amen to that. See, faith brings you to your destiny. And so she said, well, no. I said, let's cancel every negative word you've spoken, so forth and so on. We cancel it. She went back out, came back the next week, big smile on her face. I said, how did we do? She said, I got the job. She said, the lady that got the job quit. And they offered the job to me. I said, she had to quit. You had to quit. Because faith puts you in control. Boy, that's a revelation for you. Faith puts you in control. All right. Now, let's look at some of the things that have happened here. There's a couple more things that I could go to, but let's look at this. Look at Matthew chapter 13, please. Matthew chapter 13. How you doing? Doing okay? Talking about faith now. Praise God. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Okay, look what it says here. I'll start reading at verse 24. Did I say Matthew 13:24? Just one moment, please. Matthew 13:24. Yeah. Another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed what? Tares among the wheat and went his way. So, but when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then has it tares? And he said to them, what? The enemy has done this. Well, the servant said to him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, no, lest while you gathering up the tares, you'll root up also some of my wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Wow. Now that's a law of double reference. I mean, it has several things that it could be talking about. But one of the things that you will see is that in the church, tares have been sown. And I'm not just talking about people now, I'm talking about in terms of the Word of God. And somebody has sown tares among the wheat. Wheat is the real stuff. Tares is the counterfeit.
They tell me a tear, if you eat it, it'll make you lose your mind. It does something to your mind. Kind of like pork. But anyway, no, I was just kidding. Praise the Lord. Okay, but anyway, now that is not true. I cancel that in Jesus' name. The Bible says what you eat is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So eat what you want. Go get some barbecue, whatever you want to do. Okay. All right, but listen at this. Come on now, I'm just about out of time. Somewhere the church stopped preaching healing and start preaching medicine. That wasn't in the early church. Come on over to James chapter 5, please. James chapter 5. See, I know that the whole church is supposed to be healed. When you go, put up there while they're trying to find James chapter 5, put up there. Well, you know, you got new people. Hey. Look at James, look at Psalm 105 and verse 37. Look at that. And just look at this scripture. Here's what it says. He brought them forth also with silver, come on, and gold. And there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Now, they were coming out of slavery. Am I right about it? Yes. Folks, some of them had been beaten. Some of them weak because of the diet, so forth and so on. But somehow, through this blood over that doorpost, everybody got healed. Folks couldn't walk, start walking. Folks couldn't talk, start talking. And if you go in the New Testament, you'll see number of places where Jesus healed them all. Don't tell me everybody in there was living right. He healed them all because that's the covenant. That's the blessing of Abraham on it. That's right. Say amen to that. Amen. And when I caught that, I said, Lord, this area right here, you have given me. You have given me pastorship over this church. And as that, you have given me that, I believe I can pray for everybody in this church to be healed. Amen. Say amen. Amen. I'm talking about the unlimited power of faith. I'm not talking about your faith. I'm talking about my faith. If I can use it to get a building, how come I can't use it to get you healed? Now, I'm not trying to be all that. I'm just trying to be who I'm supposed to be. I believe I can believe in this church, my faith, for 100% employment. Come on. Come on, somebody. I believe that I can believe God that every debt in the house further. I can believe for every marriage problem in this house to be dissolved. Come on, don't shout me down. I'm talking about somebody's faith. There is no limit to what your faith can do. Just as quick as I can use it on me, as quick as I can use it on the real estate, as quick as I can use it on an airplane, as quick as I can use it on houses, I can use it on you. When I saw that, I said, baby, I showed it to him. I said, I got the devil where I want him now. Somebody is about to leap. See, y'all can feel faith coming now. I'm not talking about what a man can do. I'm talking about what the man can do. The man Christ Jesus, he can heal them all. I remember where, what's the evangelist's name that years ago, he's still out there now, he's saying, all you need is faith in God. Shambach. He was preaching in Birmingham, Alabama. He tells a story. He said there was no night like it, and it had been in his life ever since. He was preaching, and all of a sudden, the power of God hit the room. Everybody in wheelchairs got up like a marching band. Everybody's ears got healed, eyes got healed, hair went back. Everything that needed, God can do it. If he'll do it for R.W. Shambach. It's time for some millionaires in the house. Say amen to that. See, I'm not just thinking of myself. I'm thinking of what God can do with my faith to help other people. Say amen. Now sit down. Let me finish it. I got 3 minutes. Now that's the kind of talk God wants to hear. Because every time he talked about Jesus complimented somebody and said, I have found no greater faith. Anytime he talked about great faith, the person was not using it for themselves. They were using it for somebody else. Say amen to that. Telling you, see, your revelation is what you need. Because I got to open that Bible, and when it's revealed to me, it will be restored to me. Say amen to that. Once you get revelation, it'll start a revolution. You'll say, wait a minute, that's mine, and I want it now. Oh, this is good, isn't it? My faith can be used for that. And I believe E.W. Kenyon used his faith for that. He didn't have one sick person in his church for how many years, baby? It was about 30 years. Man, that's faith doing
yes, sir.
That.
Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
I'm talking about use faith. I'm going to use my faith maybe for some husbands. Wait a minute. Maybe I stepped across the line. That's just the running right there. Sometimes you got to run, you know what I mean? Woo-hoo-hoo. Sometimes you just can't hold yourself. Oh, yeah. What is it that faith can't do? Nothing. Because it connects you with the ability of God. And God healed them all once, and he can heal them all again. Okay. All right, listen. Here it is. Let me just give you this and then get this last part. Come on, I got 43 seconds here. Look at what he says in verse 14. Is any sick among you? Any. He doesn't mean how many of y'all are sick. The question was, is any among you sick? He didn't expect any hands to go up. Then let him call for the elders of the church. And let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to teach on the oil. And I was down at Lake and Pulaski, and the lady broke in there and said drug dealers are up and down her block from 12 noon to 12 midnight, and their kids can't go out to play or anything. We started praying, and God said, give this lady this oil and tell her to pour the oil down the middle of the street. You know why? Because I had faith in that oil, in the application of God's word concerning that oil. I had faith in it. I had faith in it. And the enemy has sown tares among the wheat. He has tried to sow in the fact that oil don't work, or it's just this, or it's just... No, it's not. The Holy Ghost is in that bottle. And where you pour it out, you have just loosed him to let him work, and he will clean out anything. You dab a little around your house and every argument will stop. See, we're going back to the supernatural. We've been in the natural long enough. A prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. If there's been any sins, he'll be forgiven. So if you messed up, God will forgive you. I haven't been preached, man. There's been preachers. You're going to stay sick and you're going to hell. So what you got to do is come back to the word of God. Let God be true and every man be a liar. Say amen to that. I'll look at the last part, Mark chapter 5. Ooh, Lord, you all got me. Ooh-wee. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Now, there's a principle in here I want you to catch. Verse 25. No, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Understand, he is a ruler. He is a very, very renowned man in the nation of Israel. And when he saw him, he fell on his feet. This is, he fell before Jesus. Now, that's publicly. Now, that's, he's putting it all out on the line there. So now he's going to trust in God and God alone and what Jesus can do. He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall what?
Live.
She shall what? She shall live. Now, that's his confession. You lay your hands on her, and she's going to live. You got to come to the house. Now, you can't speak it from here, because my faith is not in speaking it from here. My faith is if you got to come to the house. Now, the centurion's faith was in speaking it from here. But my faith is you got to come lay hands. Come on, God will do it anyway. Jesus went with him. And much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman who had had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, there it is. All right, turning your faith loose. So not only did she believe, but she had to say something. Say amen to this.
Amen.
And what she said began to first change her, and then it began to change her circumstances. You with me?
Amen.
If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. She felt in the body she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now that's a principle right there. Whenever I speak to you and I'm speaking about faith, then the spirit of faith goes with the word. Got it? That's why you're jumping up and down. The spirit of faith goes with it. When I'm teaching on whatever topic I'm teaching on, the spirit of that goes with it. The virtue, the life of that goes with it. Say amen to this.
Amen.
It's not just words you're hearing. And he said, came behind him in the press. He said, who touched my clothes? Verse 31. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But women,
The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down and told him all the truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." Now, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain, which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troubleth the master any further?" Now, what is he trying to do now? He's trying to really talk him out of his faith. Now, he's got to stay in faith. Once he's made that confession, he's got to stay right there. And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid," here's a principle, "only believe." Your part is not to fear, but to believe. You with me? And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James, three men with some faith. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and them that were wept and wailed greatly, that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming in, he said unto them, "Why maketh ye that this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but she sleep." Now notice what he's doing. He's turning his faith loose. Now you got to understand this, that he has faith, but he's got to turn it loose for faith to work. We'll cover some of this next time. And they laughed him to scorn. But when they had put him all out, he taketh the father and the mother and of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is being interpreted, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her. So, one, his part was to fear not and only believe. He didn't have to change the situation. Jesus changed it. His job was to believe. And Jesus went to the house and had to put the unbelievers out. Lord have mercy. So if you will just believe, he'll come to your house. Always deal with fear supernaturally. I'll say this, last point I want to make. Always deal with fear supernaturally. You cannot deal with fear naturally. That's what's wrong with the world. Let me prove that to you. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 7, last place. Fear not, only believe. Your job is to believe. Believe what? His word. The word is alive. It'll come to your house. Look what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land whither thou goest possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, look at the first nations. The what? Hittites, then the Girgashites, and then the Amorites, Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Seven nations, watch this, greater, come on, and mightier than you are. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1, please. I said that was the last one. Let's Joshua chapter 1. I'm trying to prove a point to you. Joshua chapter 1. Let me know when you get there. Here's Joshua taking over the leadership from Moses. Now he's got some pretty big shoes to fill here. Look at verse 3, Joshua 1, verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the who? Hittites. That's the only group he mentioned. Why? Because that's this real strong man. Hittites are a spirit of fear. Okay? Each one of these now, I've taught this before. Each one of the Jebusites, parasites are the Tiny Tim spirits. They always make people lame. They feel that they need somebody else to hold them up. They never would trust God for themselves, so forth. So all these are spirits. Every one of them are strong men, seven of them. They're there to guard Canaan. And when you start breaking into Canaan, here come a Hittite. Okay, Hittite, the literal word for Hittite means terror. That's what you're seeing, terrorism. And they're bringing Hittite spirits to try to make you shut down. Got it? You can't fight them naturally. Why? Because it's a spirit. So the world can't get rid of it. That's why they need the church. You can take a Hittite spirit and cast him out. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for you. All right. If somebody's here, before you leave, somebody has in your life, you know you're not right with the Lord, or you come here and you know you want to make sure that...